Pope Benedict has called for prayers ahead of a crucial Middle East peace conference in the city of Annapolis in the United States this week. Speaking to the huge crowds gathered in St. Peter's Square following a consistory mass on Sunday morning, the Pope prayed that participants at the conference would find the necessary wisdom and courage to bring reconciliation to the war-torn region. His words came after he had placed a gold ring on the finger of 23 new cardinals, telling them they too must work to bring peace and unity to the church and to the world. My colleague Emma McCarthy has all the details.
Cari fratelli e sorelle.
From the great door of St. Peter's Basilica, Pope Benedict asked pilgrims to pray that participants at this week's Mideast Summit in Annapolis, Maryland, find the wisdom and courage necessary to bring peace to the Holy Land. Before reciting the Angelus prayer with the hundreds of faithful who withstood driving rain to witness him bestowing the rings of office on 23 cardinals, the Pope thanked them for their presence at the ceremony and asked them to join in the prayer launched by the United States Bishops' Conference for peace in a region so dear to us.
Martedì prossimo, ad Annapolis, negli Stati Uniti, israeliani e palestinesi.
Washington is hoping that during this historic two-day summit, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas will declare a formal resumption of peace talks in the presence of a large international audience. Pope Benedict said the meeting hoped to relaunch stalled negotiations to find a just and definitive solution to the conflict, which for 60 years has bloodied the Holy Land and provoked so many tears and suffering among two peoples.
Per tutti I protagonisti dell'importante incontro.
He then went on to thank the many pilgrims who had come from far afield in a show of support for the newly appointed cardinals who had joined him on the steps of the basilica to the delight of the crowd. Your presence, he told them, underlines the unity and universality of the Catholic Church.
I'm happy to greet also English-speaking pilgrims who have come to attend the consistory, especially souls from Iraq, Ireland, India, Kenya, and the United States of America.
The Holy Father had made his way to the Basilica entrance at the end of celebrations marking the Feast of Christ the King and the second significant appointment of this week's consistory, the Mass of the Rings. During the Mass, the 23 prelates, dressed in gold vestments, formed a semicircle around the high altar, celebrating their first Mass as cardinals in union with the Pope.
Accipe annulum di manu Petri et noveris dilectione principis apostolorum dilectionem tuum erga ecclesiam roparare.
Before the liturgy of the Eucharist to the tones of Exultate Deo, Pope Benedict bestowed a golden ring inscribed with the crucifixion on each cardinal, the final symbol of their unique bond with the Church of Rome, reciting the Latin formula, "Receive this ring from the hand of Peter, and know that with the love of the Prince of the Apostles, your love for the Church is strengthened."
Sull'anello cardinalizio è raffigurata proprio la crocifissione.
In his homily, the Pope told the cardinals that the ring will be a constant reminder to them of the King they serve, on which throne he was raised, and of how he was loyal to the very end, defeating sin and death with the strength of his divine mercy. The Mother Church, the Bride of Christ, he said, gifts you this symbol in memory of her spouse, who loved her and who gave himself up for her. Thus, by wearing the cardinal ring, you are constantly called to give your life for the Church.
Annunciare al mondo la verità di Cristo.
Pope Benedict XVI continued, the Church is called to be the humble custodian of Christ's mystery. The Church must freely offer this gift to humanity, without the shadow of pride or arrogance. This mystery, he underlined, is neither philosophy nor gnosis, even though it include wisdom and knowledge. It is Christ himself, Logos made flesh, who died and was raised and made king of the universe. The Pope said it is a cardinal's particular duty to announce the truth of Christ to the world, hope for every man and for the entire human family. It is his primary mission to pray for peace and unity, so that the Church may be solid and compact, a sign and instrument of unity for all mankind. It is a truly great consolation, concluded Pope Benedict, that I can rely on you, collegially and singularly, to help me too carry out this fundamental duty of the Petrine ministry.
Let us give thanks to God for the gift of these new cardinals and strive to follow closely in the footsteps of Christ our King, bearing constant witness to his saving truth. I wish you all a pleasant stay in Rome and a blessed Sunday.
And my thanks to Emma McCarthy for that report. On Monday, the 23 new cardinals met together with Pope Benedict again in the Vatican, accompanied by delegations from their hometowns, the last event of these consistory celebrations. Their busy schedule here in the Vatican began last Friday, when the entire College of Cardinals met together privately with the Pope for a day of prayer and free discussions focused around the themes of collegiality and relations with other Christian communities. The discussions on ecumenism were introduced by the head of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity, Cardinal Walter Kasper, who outlined three areas of progress and new challenges facing the Church. To find out more at the end of the morning session, I sat down with one of the participants, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor of Westminster.
I think, first of all, I'd say it was realistic. I would say that based on Cardinal Kasper's fine, short speech, but a sort of resume of the three aspects of ecumenism with the Orthodox, with the other ecclesial communities, and with the Pentecostals. It was I thought it was very well laid out. And then there's what the interventions of the cardinals, and there were about 15 to 20 on different aspects of ecumenism, which varied from the Orthodox and with the other ecclesial communities, I suppose, for me, interest in the Anglicans, but also the other communities that have arisen from the Reformation and the Pentecostals. There are some cardinals also broadened it a bit. I mean, what did the ecumenical movement mean for contact with Jews, or even with other Christians, you know, looking at the dialogue with Muslims, which is not obviously the ecumenical movement in that sense. It's a interreligious dialogue, which is slightly different. But somehow or other, it was the Catholic Church looking at itself, its identity, and yet conscious that there is an impegno, there is a need to continue the ecumenical dialogue and to present, yes, truth, but always in charity and in openness.
As you were mentioning, this sense of identity seems to be an increasing tension with the need to be open and honest towards our ecumenical partners. Did you feel that were any perhaps new ideas as to how to approach this?
There wasn't anything particularly new, except some people did talk about our Catholic identity. And it came up in the context that there was the beginnings, in fact, of quite developing fragmentation among the other churches and ecclesial communities, not only from the point of view of ecclesial communities with the Anglican communion, which is very clear, but also with others as well. So there's a sense of how do we use the God-given unity that we have. I'm thinking particularly of the Catholic Church's ecclesiology and sense of itself as church, and how do we use it to help the other Christians. However difficult or long the road is, we want to achieve full communion with them.
As you say, this fragmentation, though, makes the task a lot more difficult, doesn't it? It seems to be quite a bleak picture, perhaps.
Well, a number of them did talk about a certain pessimism, the slight ecumenical gloom at the moment, because some of the high hopes of ecumenical dialogues haven't happened, haven't secured what the aim as quickly as people would have wanted. And there have been developments also that have made it more difficult. So I talk about ecumenical gloom, but also we're going back a number, and the Holy Father mentioned this as well in his a few times he spoke, that ecumenism is also developing our relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. The Trinity, the Incarnation, the Redemption, the focus on Jesus Christ. And the more we focus on him, the more we're, as it were, open to others. So I think that spiritual ecumenism has a new importance now.
There was also quite a lot of talk, I understand, of the new movements, the Pentecostals.
Well, the Pentecostals, yes, were mentioned quite a lot, and how can we, as it were, approach them? And because it's not the same as the more established church groups, and that has to be done really much more informally, I think, what one or two were saying.
Can you tell us a bit more about perhaps the emerging dialogue with these groups that until very recently were simply described as the problem of the sects, weren't they?
Yes. I talk about a problem. I prefer using the word challenge to the Catholic Church to see, well, how do we evangelize? How do we get to those people who, in fact, need to hear the word of God, need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, when we have, inverted commas, in our view, such a more complete understanding of the mystery of Jesus than the Pentecostals have. So it is a challenge.
What do you see, perhaps, as the secret of their success in evangelization?
Their success is they go out to, what is it they offer people? A small community, a warmth, a support, a simplistic message, which many people look for. And I think the mystery, or rather the message of the Catholic Church, is also, in one sense, simple and offers closeness and support and communio within the context of something much larger. We are very local in our local churches, communities, and also we're global because we belong to the worldwide Catholic Church.
What would you take away, perhaps, as a symbol of hope of this meeting?
Well, it was hopeful in the sense of the frankness of the way people spoke. The liberi interventi of the cards is very nice, and whatever the views that are expressed by different, just getting a view from, you know, from Africa, from America, from Europe, from Asia. I mean, it's something that hasn't happened in the same way, informal way, before, I think. And that's why I'm very glad that we have this opportunity.
And my thanks there to Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, head of the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.